You please remain standing as we offer the prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, on this the day that we celebrate the resurrection of thy Son, we do humbly pray that we are worthy of the sacrifice that he has made for us. That through our days, that wherever we go, whatever we do, we would be found striving to serve to the best of our ability. Father, we thank you for all that is good in our lives. As we come before you this night, we thank you for the service of this day and the Spirit that has attended us, and pray that thy Spirit shall continue to be with the one who speaks to us this night, that thou will not only clothe his mind and his tongue, but thou would open our minds and our hearts to the message that he has for us. Father, we know that there are many sick and afflicted among thy children, many names were brought before thee this morning. We know that there are many more who was not mentioned, but we pray that thou be mindful of each and every one. We also know that there are those of our loved ones who are traveling and are not here yet. We humbly pray thy blessings be upon them, that they might truly arrive safe and sound. And so as we go into this service, we humbly pray that thou will be with us, be with the speaker, and we ask it in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our speaker tonight is not new to any of us. He has spoke to us many times. But this night, as is all other nights or days, whenever he speaks, he would appreciate your prayers on his behalf. And I know that if you pay close attention, your time here will be well spent. And so I give to you at this time our apostle, Brother Ely.
Thank you, Brother Jim. I liked the enthusiasm that you sang our two hymns with. And I thought back on the past 2 days of our services, and one word really had a lot of impact, and it was stressed by a number of those in charge, and that was the importance of humility in our lives. It is a vital importance to our lives. It is not the natural inclination of man to be a humble creature. It is something we each need to work upon. And I would like to read at this time from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and I would like to start with verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And I want us to think a little bit about the last part of the 5th verse. It says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I believe that is explained rather plainly. For anyone here, even our young children, can understand that. The importance of humility in our life. And we're told to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then on down in verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We heard testimonies already this day of the care that a loving father and his son had for various people. We know that he careth for each one of us, whoever we are and wherever we are. And this we can be very thankful for this evening, that we have somebody that cares for us in our time of need, our time of trial, our time of burden, or in any of our walk of life, He cares for us. But in all this, in the caring of a Father and His Son for us, there is one about, ever present, the evil one, even the devil, trying to deceive and bring heartache to the children of men. And all too often he succeeds. But there is a way away from that heartache, and that is Jesus Christ and God. And I want to touch upon that tonight, and I want to touch upon a little further the importance of humility, for we know that Jesus Christ was a humble person as he walked the face of this earth. He set an example for you and I to follow. He intends for us to follow that example. And he gave the invitation to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. And he says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." And if we do that, we're promised rest for our souls. I never tire of some of these beautiful scriptures. And you may hear me use them and use them again and again. But they're important. They're a part and should become a part of our lives. But I want to speak a little more about that evil one who is ever trying to change the great plan. God laid down a plan for the salvation of men, but the deceptor is there trying to deceive mankind. And so we read verse 8, a charge to each and every one of us, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be alert. You cannot handle the forces of evil alone. Don't try it. It can't be done. We need God and Christ in our lives. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So there he is, trying to deceive. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he might devour. Now, if a lion was in the forest and they try to get prey, a lot of times the weak are the ones that are left to his prey. So I want to bring some points tonight that will help you to be strong and not weak. Because if you're weak in the faith, it isn't easy to resist him. The first part of 9 says, resist this same devil, steadfast in the faith. Now, if you wish to read the rest of this, you can. But at this time, I want to turn to 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter. This is on page 109. And I want to read some related marks. Because I just read about this person that we should resist, steadfast in the faith. For he walketh about as a roaring lion to devour those whom he might find who would yield to him. Oh, that cunning, and this is verse 57 on page 109. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one. He knows that God has laid down a plan for salvation. But on the other side, he knows about this. And it says, the cunning plan of the evil one. Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise. And they hearken not unto the counsel of God. for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Now, if we just face that squarely, isn't that true? And a lot of time when man gets more learning, he really thinks he's pretty great. He thinks he can handle it by himself. But let's go on. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, and they shall perish. But to be learned is good if they hearken unto the counsels of God. Now I find that is wise counsel. Now this isn't saying that we shouldn't have learning in this life. But no matter how much you might learn today, no matter how well you might do a talent or a job, remember you still are reliant upon God and Christ. You must hearken unto the counsels of God. Don't forget that for one moment. It is important. You young people remember that especially, and you little children. As you grow up, the counsels of God are important in your life. And I hope we who are older might have learned that. If we have not, we must learn it. But woe unto the rich who are rich as to the things of the world. For because they are rich, they despise the poor, they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures. Wherefore, their treasure is their God. And behold, their treasure shall perish with them also. And how different that is to the words of the Master. Our treasure should be in heaven. Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, said to lay not up treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. But he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this harmonizes so well with this. Those who trust in the riches of this world, it says, their treasure shall perish with them also. I would like for us to keep that in our mind and to ponder upon it. I'd like to turn over to the next page and start with verse 73. I find these are truths that are important for us to think upon. O my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against the holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticings of that cunning one. Remember, it is an awful thing. I would like to read a little related verse from the book of Proverbs. And this is found in Proverbs 14:12. And again, this harmonizes so well with this statement in the Book of Mormon. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Did you hear that? A lot of times we can excuse what we want to do. It might seem a way that we like to follow, and it would seem right unto us. But if it's not in harmony with God and Jesus Christ, the end thereof is the way of death. Now, don't forget that. To me, this is plain language. And I have one desire this evening, and that is to speak in plainness to each one of you. Not only you who are older, but the young and the little children. I want them to know
what I am saying, and I hope they listen carefully. I remember this young lad here. He was following me last Sunday, too, and I'm glad he's here with his Bible and his Book of Mormon. I like this. This is a good way to do. You might need to even check on these preachers, what they're reading, you know, from time to time. Good idea. Well, anyway, let's read on. Remember, in verse 74 on page 110, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. And I don't want to hold out tonight all these scary things for everybody, but I want to hold out some hope as well. But I don't want to soft pedal the forces of evil. I don't want to soft pedal the deceptor. He is cunning. He is clever. But let me tell you, he is not wise. Anybody that was in heaven and decides he wanted to be above it all and was cast to earth, he couldn't have been wise. He started out there one time, but he wanted to exalt himself above the stars of heaven. And he fell. He knows what he missed. So he's ever trying to deceive mankind. But God is there to help us. Well, let's read on here. Oh, my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Jesus Christ, that one you sung about tonight, he is risen. That's the one you give heed to. Do not say, I have spoken hard things against you, for if ye do, ye will revile against the truth. For I have spoken the words of your Maker. I know that the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness. So if you're following the ways of sin, the words of truth are hard against them. They denounce the things of sin, the lusts of the flesh, the vices of this world. But let's read on. But the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. So it is. If we do that which is good, we don't have to worry about it. But we have all been children sometime, and there's a lot of little children in here. And when you're caught doing something that isn't too nice, it isn't too fun a thing, is it? Right? We know that. Well, anyway here, and if we told a lie to our parents and we got caught in it, that isn't too fun a thing. But it says right here, if we told the truth, well, it says here, the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. So if we tell the truth, we're not shaken. Oh, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. And so the invitation is that we come unto Jesus Christ. Before I finish that, I want to turn to a book called John, 6th chapter and the 35th verse. And I want us to think upon this. Some of the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I find that a nice invitation. And I hope you each likewise find it a nice invitation to come unto Jesus Christ. And this is really spiritually. If we come unto Him, seek Him, follow Him, And of course, we know the plan of repentance and baptism and then follow our Maker. We can expect that help from Him. I'd like to go back and read a little further from this same page 110. And we just read about that we to remember that the Lord is the Holy One. And remember, and don't forget this, that His paths are righteousness. Now that's the one we want to follow. One whose paths are righteousness. And look at this now. This is plain and easy to understand. Behold, the way for man is narrow. There's other scriptures here that talk about that straight and narrow path which has a rod of iron along it. And a rod of iron, we know, is a representation of the Word of God. And this straight and narrow path, it says, it lieth in a straight course before Him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel. He employeth no servant there. Now the keeper of that gate is the Holy One of Israel. And there is none other way, now listen to this, save it be by the gate. That is the way to enter. For he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is His name. And what is that gate? I think we all know, but sometimes it does us well to repeat it. It is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, and then you are in a straight and narrow way. You have entered in by the gate. But as Nephi said, all is not done. You have not come that far, save it were for the words of Jesus Christ. That's what brought you to that point. For the words of Jesus Christ will tell you all what you should do. Let's go on a little further in this same reading. And whoso knocketh, to him will he open. And the wise and the learned, I want you to listen to this closely. And they that are rich, who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they whom he despiseth. And save they shall cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. Now this is kind of a sad thing, but there is a way. It says we must come in the depths of humility. But the things of the wise and prudent shall be hid from them forever. Yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. That would be kind of a sad state if some would choose other paths and to follow the riches and the vices of this world and the sin and the lust of the flesh and not be able to inherit the happiness that is prepared for the saints. I want to turn to a little bit of that happiness is prepared for the saints. In the first chapter of Mosiah, it's on page 215. These are words I often reference, and many of your other ministry likewise reference them, so I hope you don't tire of hearing them again and again. And I really want to start about verse 86. But I want to tell a little of the story here. This was about a person called King Benjamin. And he evidently was quite a person. And he lived a goodly life, and he taught the people in the way they should go. And he had peace during a lot of his kingship. But in all this, it drew to the close of his life, and he is about to pass from this life, this dear old king. And what did he want to do? He wanted to gather all the people together to hear some words that were important for each one of them. Words of counsel, words of advice, words of commandment. He wanted to teach these people that they might be able to walk that straight and that narrow path that would lead them to the tree of life. And so he had this to say in verse 86. Now note who he was speaking here to. O all ye old men, and also ye young men. And we don't want to leave out the ladies now. He's speaking to them too. And you little children, who can understand my words. Now King Benjamin of old spoke certain words unto the people. And so just like he was here tonight, speaking unto you the words of life, you older ones, you young men, you young ladies, you little children who can understand my words, pay attention. It's going to be important what I bring out for your benefit this night. For I have spoken plain unto you that you might understand. And I would desire to speak in plainness unto you tonight. Before this, there was another person that really liked to speak in plainness. And I'll let turn to this to find it. It's on page 160. And maybe verses 4 and 5. And Nephi was one who loved to speak in plainness unto the people. He liked to prophesy in plainness. And I would like to read from verse 4 and 5. For he said, for my soul delighteth in plainness. That is important. If I stood here tonight and preached a riddle unto you, I wouldn't do much good. Something you could not understand. But I desire to preach something you can understand. And so this was the same with him. And he says, my soul delighteth in plainness. For after this manner, now listen to this, does the Lord God work among the children of men. All we have to do is listen to his words. If we don't listen, then our insight might make them hard. But if we listen, then they can become plain. And note this, for the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language and their understanding. Now, isn't this nice that this is done? Now, going back to page 215 again, I may skip around a bit, but I have a few points that I want to stress. And I find it easier to stress them with Scripture. I find it is important. And so King Benjamin spoke unto all the people in plainness. And then he says, I pray that ye should awaken to a remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. Now, I can understand that. If you've fallen into transgression and follow the ways of sin and iniquity, it is a terrible thing. It is an upsetting thing. And he said, it is terrible. And moreover, I would desire that you should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. Now, this is on the other side of the picture. It is a terrible thing to transgress against Him and follow the devil. But on the other side of the picture, it is a blessed and happy state to keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. Now, do you have any trouble understanding that? It is plain to our understanding. And this is the part I really like. We sang about some of these things tonight, you know, the greatness of Jesus Christ being resurrected, making it possible for us one day to be a part of the resurrection and to stand before the judgment bar of God and be rewarded according to our works. Well, let's read this here. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. Can you really imagine what it would be like to be happy forever? Can you? Well, here we hear people say, well, I'm unhappy today. I'm bored today with living or something else, you know. This is a state of never-ending happiness. Do you know something else? I talked a little bit about that straight and narrow path and the rod of iron that leads you to the tree of life. Do you know what the fruit of the tree of life is? It's able to make one happy. Well, is it worth it or is it not? It is worth it, isn't it? Sure. That's how I like to see you shake your head, Jess. It's got to be, right? Anyway, let's go on a little further. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. I kind of like that. It shows the greatness of God and what He can do in our individual lives. In harmony with this, I'd like to turn over to 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter, on page 76. And I would like to... I guess I'll go down to about verse 55. There's a lot more I could read on this page. But how quickly the time will get away. And I don't want you to look at my watch yet, but I will after a bit. Don't fear. Anyway, verse 55. This kind of ties with this state of never-ending happiness. I kind of like that. And the times cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall. Now, what does that really mean to you? Now, this is what it means. A calf that is raised in the stall, it don't have to endure all the bad weather and all the ills of what is about them. In the same way it is here. It indicates a similarity to this. And so let's read on. And a time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall. They won't have any interference there. And the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And He gathereth His children from the four quarters of the earth, and He numbereth His sheep, and they know Him. How would they know Him? Because they follow Him. That's the way they know Him. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and He shall feed His sheep, and in Him shall they find pasture. And because of the righteousness of His people, Satan, what does it say? Has no power. Wherefore he cannot be loosed for the space of many years. I kind of like that reading. Turn over to, and I'm not going to do it, to Revelation's 20th chapter, and we can read about the millennium reign. It's got to be the same time. Satan can't be loosed for the space of many years, and we can read about it in the book of Revelations that he would be bound 1,000 years. Now that'd be kind of a nice time to live during, when the devil can't even deceive you, you know? I can't even fathom what that would be like. Because if I slip a little, he's always there to help me slip a little further, you know? That's the sad thing. But God is there to lift us up if we turn to him. Well, let's read along a little further in this beautiful story. For he hath power, in verse 62, over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness. Now, I'd say it's kind of important to work on our personal righteousness, would you not? When they live there, that's the way it'll be. And the Holy One of Israel reigneth. That's Jesus Christ. A beautiful place to be. And now, behold, I, Nephi, say unto you that all these things must come according to the flesh. They must come to pass. But behold, all nations, and here is the invitation, don't forget it, kindreds, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel, if it so be that they repent. There it is. Plain as simple can be. Repentance. If you've done something wrong, you repent about it. Right? Sure. Well, let's turn over to 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter. It's on verse 100, or page 158. And I would like to read from verses 75 through 78 here. And let us think upon this for a bit. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that you're more righteous than the Gentile shall be. Now the reason I chose this reading, as you'll shortly see, is because of the invitation through repentance that ties to the last verse I just read. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. And that might need a little explanation there for some, perhaps. But throughout the Scriptures, and especially the Book of Mormon, there are several statements made concerning the Gentiles. And one of them is, if they accept the gospel and repent of the blessings they can receive, but if they reject it and follow other vices and the sins of the world, then there's some grievous circumstances that can be expected, even to the sweeping off of the face of the land. For this land that you and I live upon was preserved for a righteous people. And anybody who live here must serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, or when they're ripe in iniquity, they'll be swept off the face of the land. Now, these people knew about some of these things. They knew that there's things prophesied about the Gentiles. But what he is saying here, you needn't suppose that they're utterly destroyed. He means if they repent, they can have salvation too. Well, let's read on. For behold, I say unto you that as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord. I don't have any trouble understanding that. And as many as the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. And then the next verse is really the key verse. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. Now that shows the importance of repentance in our individual lives. I'd like to turn to one in the book of Galatians, the third chapter, because it ties rather well with this particular reading as well. And I'd like to read verses 27 through 29. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you repent and are baptized and follow Jesus Christ, it don't matter who you are. And I just spoke that he spoke to all nations and peoples. And it's all contingent upon one thing, and that was repentance. And if you be Christ, if you've repented and are baptized and follow him, it says if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that shows even the Gentiles can become heirs of that promise. I would like to turn again to 2 Nephi, the 7th chapter, on page 114. This is found in verses 27, and I think I'll read on down through about 39, a little longer reading. But anyway, I feel these verses are important, and I want us to think upon it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, thus saith our God, I will afflict thy seed by the hand of the Gentiles. Nevertheless, I will soften the hearts of the Gentiles, that they shall be like unto a father to them. Wherefore the Gentiles shall be blessed and numbered among the house of Israel. You note that? Of Israel. And I want you to listen to the next verse. Wherefore I will consecrate this land unto thy seed. That's the Indian peoples. But listen further. And they who shall be numbered among thy seed. That could be the Gentiles or other converts. Forever. This land, and we're living on some of this land, the United States of America. I will consecrate it forever for the land of their inheritance. For it is a choice land, saith God unto me, above all other lands. For some reason, you and I are a part of this land. We've got a heritage. Really a heritage. A privilege. And I hope we aren't taking it lightly. But another thing that we should be doing is being about our business and thinking of the great charge we have concerning the house of Israel and the responsibility of the Gentiles and taking the fullness of the gospel to them. Wherefore I will have all men that dwell thereon, on this land, that they shall worship me, saith God. And now, my beloved brethren, seeing that our merciful God has given us so great knowledge concerning these things, let us remember him and lay aside our sins and not hang down our heads. He spoke to his people of old as he spoke to his brethren there, for we are not cast off. Nevertheless, we have been driven out of the land of our inheritance, but we have been led to a better land. For the Lord has made the sea our path, and we are upon an isle of the sea. And of course, they spoke of this continent as an isle, and we call it a continent. But that's what they called it. And listen to this. But great are the promises of the Lord unto those who are upon the isles of the sea. Wherefore, as it says isles, there must needs be more than this. And they are inhabited also by our brethren. There's others of the house of Israel living in other places. For behold, the Lord God has led away from time to time from the house of Israel according to his will and pleasure. And now behold, the Lord remembereth all those who have been broken off. Wherefore he remembereth us also. And we can praise the Lord that he remembers all of these. I'd like to turn to the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And I'd like to read a few verses there. I'd like to read the 10th through the 12th verses. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. Now, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Their soul should be as a watered garden. And they shall not sorrow any more at all. This is an event that will yet take place. He that scattereth Israel will gather Israel. We're living in a great and marvelous time. This we cannot deny. I would like to turn to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. And start with verse 24 and read down through 28. Speaking unto Israel, to those that were scattered among the heathen, and they worshiped the gods of the heathen. Keep that in mind where they went. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. It's going to take the power of the Lord to accomplish it, and a people who will work with him. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. So where they went, they worshipped idols. And he says, I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, or to keep my commandments. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. One day they will repent. They will know that Jesus Christ is the one they must follow. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. What a beautiful statement this is. We have a time in 3 Nephi, the 10th chapter, that tells about the building of a new Jerusalem, and that the Gentiles will assist the Indian peoples, and as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they shall build a new Jerusalem. And then it tells about the work commencing among all the people. It tells about the power of heaven coming down among them. And Jesus said, I also will be in their midst. A beautiful time yet ahead. I just want to read a little about that time from 2 Nephi on page 664. 3 Nephi, beg your pardon. I don't wish to confuse anybody here. As long as I give page numbers, then all the confusement leaves. I'm just wondering what I'm talking about. That's all. 3 Nephi 10, and I want to skip down to verse 5. Verily I say unto you, at that day when this new Jerusalem comes and the power of heaven is among them, and the work is commenced, he says, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the dispersed of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among all the dispersed of my people, with the Father to prepare the way whereby they may come unto me, that they may call on the Father in my name. Yea, and then shall the work commence with the Father among all nations in preparing the way whereby his people may be gathered home to the land of their inheritance. What a beautiful time that will be to be a part of it. And I hope that we might look deeply into our lives. We got a responsibility as part of these Gentiles to carry this work to these people. I hope that we do not stay as slack as we've been, but that we realize of our responsibility and that we prepare our lives. If we prepare our lives through fasting and through prayer and through the studying and searching of the Scriptures, then we will be prepared for the Lord to work with us. In attitudes, in humility, as we just heard voiced the last 2 days, of how we deal with one another, we can work on all these things. And the closer we arrive in unity and oneness, the more fully the Lord will be able to use us. So I hope that we might watch these things carefully in our lives. And it says, these people shall go out from all nations, and they shall not go in haste, nor go by flight. Now I see, when I looked here the first time and found it was already 10 to 7, I couldn't believe that much time had passed. And I've decided to skip one of my references and go down to my final reference. So it's well that I did check my time. I would like to go to 2 Nephi, the 7th chapter. And I would like to, it's on page 113. Start with verse 12. And I want us to think upon these things. And I'm going to read a bit here for us, and then we'll draw our service to a close. But behold, and listen closely to this. Nice reading, a nice way to close. But behold, thus saith the Lord God, when the day cometh that they shall believe in me, that's the Indian peoples, that I am Christ, and even all of Israel, as far as that goes. This really takes in Israel, all of them. Then have I covenanted with their fathers that they shall be restored in the flesh upon the earth unto the lands, plural, of their inheritance. And it shall come to pass that they shall be gathered in from their long dispersion from the isles of the sea. Isn't it kind of nice how all these scriptures harmonize one with another? You see, the hand of the Lord must be in it. And from the four parts of the earth, And the nations of the Gentiles shall be great in the eyes of me, saith God, in carrying them forth to the lands of their inheritance. And ponder upon what I'm reading. I'm not going to talk too much upon it, because it'd take quite a bit of time. Yea, the kings of the Gentiles shall be nursing fathers unto them, and their queens shall become nursing mothers. Wherefore the promises of the Lord are great unto the Gentiles, for he has spoken it, and who can dispute? But behold, this land, what we're talking about, where we're a part of, saith God, shall be the land of thine inheritances. Inheritance, singular. That is, the Indian peoples. And the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. And listen to this. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles. You know why it's been a land of liberty? Stated many years ago. And there shall be no kings upon the land. That's why we didn't have any kings. Said there wouldn't be any. Who shall raise up unto the Gentiles. We've had a different way of government. And I will fortify this land against all other nations. Now that's the way we started this. When our mother Gentiles came here, if it hadn't have been for the power of God, we would have been overrun. But the Spirit of God was with them. And they succeeded. And they had the power of God with them when our nation was founded. We must not forget that. We've been driving dangerously, if you want to use a term, in the era in which we live. And we better look back to the way we were founded. We better get back to the old path. And he that fighteth against Zion shall perish, saith God, for he that raiseth up a king against me shall perish. For I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king. Now, this is plain, is it not? And I will be a light unto them forever that hear my words. Now, isn't this kind of nice? If we'll hear his words, it can be a light unto us forever. Them and us as well. We who are the repentant Gentiles can be a part of this same covenant. Wherefore, for this cause, that my covenants may be fulfilled, which I have made unto the children of men, that I will do them while they are in the flesh, I must needs destroy the secret works of darkness and of murders and of abominations. These things must be destroyed. They are destroying our nation today. They must be destroyed. And he said they will be. Wherefore, he that fighteth against Zion, both Jew and Gentile, both bond and free, both male and female, shall perish. Now, I find that plain. Now, I'm skipping on down again to verse 29 that I've already read. Wherefore, the Gentiles shall be blessed and numbered among the house of Israel. And if we go on with what I brought out tonight, that is, if they repent and believe the fullness of the gospel. Wherefore, I will consecrate this land unto thy seed, the Indian peoples, and they who shall be numbered among thy seed forever for the land of their inheritance. Now this could be a part of our land forever. We can be numbered in that great promise. And I hope that we realize what is ours to enjoy. You please rise.
Thank you.
Bow your heads, please.
Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this, our first day of conference, we thank Thee for the services we have had this day and for Thy Spirit that has attended us here. And as we go our various ways this night, may that same Spirit go with us to be with us throughout the night and to guide us back here on the morrow. Again, we would ask that Thou would remember the many sick and afflicted mentioned and brought before Thee this day, those who are yet traveling, for their safety, for the church and its needs at all time, Father. May Thy Spirit be here in great abundance to guide and direct in all phases of our business meetings that we have before us. May Thy will be strong among us, that we might know truly that Thou art here. Go with us now until we are privileged to meet again on the morrow, and we would ask these things in Thy Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, you tell